This morning I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 13 in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 13, as we look at one of the famous parables that the Lord told, called the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. We'll read this parable this morning, and this particular parable we don't have to interpret ourselves. Jesus interprets it for us. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 1, on the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then look at verse 18. Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. You and I have the privilege of being productive for God. That's what this is all about, this parable. Jesus is saying, hear. If you hear and if you do, you can be productive for God. Doesn't matter who we are. If we know the Lord, even if we don't know the Lord, we can come to know the Lord. The way is open for all who will call upon His name. And we can be productive for Him. We can do a job for Him day by day, every moment of our day that is valuable, not just for time, but for eternity. That's what He's trying to tell us. The condition and response of my heart to the Word determines my relationship to God and my fruitfulness for Him. The condition and response of my heart to the Word determines my relationship to God and my fruitfulness for Him. Jesus says here in verse 9, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The emphasis in this parable is on hearing and doing. How can you become a good listener, a good hearer? Let me give you a few points. It's not in your outline. It's free. Won't charge you anything for it. First of all, I think we should listen with anticipation. Anytime. We're expecting something. You know, if you're listening and you're not really expecting to hear anything good, you're not a good listener. No matter who we're talking to, if I'm anticipating hearing something that God can use in my life, I believe we'll get something from everybody around us. Anticipation, then cooperation. I should be, not fighting what I'm hearing. I'm accepting it as something God can use in my life. I'm cooperating with. And of course, when we hear the Word of God, this is especially important. Number three, concentration. I need to concentrate. There are so many things that we can have our minds on these days. We live in a country where it's very complex. You know, we have so many things. Our minds can be in so many different places. If we were someplace today where we had maybe just a very simple house, very little bit in the house, a couple things hanging in the closet, we wouldn't have as much to think about. But in America, we do. So we have to concentrate as we listen. Number four, we need to have evaluation. Anticipation, cooperation, concentration, evaluation. I don't think we're going to listen very well if we just take it all in without thinking. We got to think. God gave us a brain. When we hear the Word of God, we need to engage our minds. God does not want to bypass our minds and just have some kind of an emotional fit and go home. God wants us to hear the explicit teaching of His Word, believe it, go out and with our wills act upon what we know and understand. So if we listen correctly, we must evaluate it. Our mind must be in gear. And number five, the last thing, I think we need to make an effort to remember what we hear. If we're going to be a good hearer, we must make some effort to remember it. Mental summaries, notes, reviewing it later in my mind, some way to try to hang on to that which I have heard, especially when I'm hearing the Word of God. Now, in this text that we read, I'd like to ask a question. Who is the sower? And we're not told who the sower is. Just a sower. And I think we'll learn in a moment who the sower is. What is he sowing? Verse 19, as we read it, tells us it's the Word of the Kingdom. It's God's Word. That's what's being sown. Luke chapter 4 tells us, this parable appears in Luke chapter 8. Luke says it's the seed is the Word of God. So it's God's Word. That's the seed. Where is he sowing it? Where is this sower sowing it? Verse 19 tells us, it's in the heart of whoever is hearing it. So the Word of God is being sown in the heart of whoever is hearing it. So, who do you think the sower would be? Anybody who's giving out the Word of God. That's the sower. That's you. That's me. If we are in any way giving out the Word, we are the sower. Is there any variation in this passage in the sower? Don't see any. That's not the emphasis. You know, a parable is a story that Jesus told, a story that everybody understood, everybody knew what he was talking about, but then he gave a spiritual meaning to it. And normally a parable has one central thrust to it. We get into trouble if we try to apply every last detail. So the emphasis here in this parable is not on the sower. Is there any variation in the hearer? The heart? The soil? Yes. That's where the variation is. That's where the lesson is. The condition of the heart. How I hear the Word of God. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You remember the book of Proverbs says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The heart, that part of me that is the real me that hears, understands, and acts, that's what we're talking about. So the text is emphasizing the disposition of the hearers. And in the first group, we have a person who has a hard heart. Or a hard mind. The hardened heart. Remember we read it. He sowed, verse 4, he sowed some seed. As he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart, this is he who received seed by the wayside. In those days, they would have many fields surrounding a city. Sometimes they would have a city wall. But the fields would be out lying around, and they would have little stacks of stones at the corners of their fields, so they would know where their field began and ended. And between those fields, there would be paths that would be worn. Up and down, and then they got very hard, just like a sidewalk. That's what he's talking about. As they would sow seed, some of it would fall on these pathways that were hard as rocks. Hardened ground. The seed cannot penetrate that ground. No understanding. I don't think it's a problem with being smart enough. I'm not saying there are some people that can't understand the Bible in the sense that they're not smart enough. I believe any child in this auditorium this morning that can read can understand most of the Bible. Some of it, yes, you can't understand without some study. But the simplest person who can read can understand most of the Bible, if it's in a language you can understand. So it's not a problem of being smart enough. It is an intellectual problem. It is a problem of understanding. What causes the problem of understanding? What makes it hard? Well, I will give you a few suggestions. And maybe you have a hard heart here this morning. And you know why your heart is hard. And I may not mention it. But if it is hard, I encourage you, as long as you have ears to hear, as long as there is some desire in you to hear God, hear Him this morning. Perhaps it's just plain religious formalism that has hardened your heart. You say, I'm here today because it's part of my routine. It's just part of what I do. But really, there's nothing going to get in. You're just here. You're a religious formalist. It's part of your formal activity day by day or week by week or perhaps a couple times a month, whatever. Maybe it's too much in the habit of just hearing and not doing. Kind of just sermon hardened. I hear it. I really have no plans of doing it. But I'm hearing. I mean, after all, you know, it's good. It's the Bible. And maybe I've been brought up with that, and I like to hear the Bible. But there are no real plans to hear it. And to really do it, and to learn something and put it into action. The mind gets hard, if that's my attitude. Nothing really gets in. Careless hearing, maybe. I'm here, but I'm really not hearing. I'm here. You know, you can see me. I'm here. But I'm really not hearing. I'm just, you know, my mind is somewhere else. Maybe rebellion. I'm here, but I really don't want to be here. You know, I don't know why you're here. I know some of you are here because your mom and dad would, you know, give you a hard time if you weren't. And that's good. You may not want to be here. Maybe you're here, again, because you feel social pressure to be here. You just feel social pressure. But in your heart, you're a rebel. Your heart is hard. You don't really want to be under the sound of God's Word. Maybe there's bitterness. Your heart is so hard, it is bitter because whatever it may be, and you are bitter at God. You don't really want to hear what God has to say. You may not verbalize that, but that's really the case of your heart. You've turned God off because God did something to hurt you in your way of thinking. Maybe you're just too proud. I don't need what I'm hearing. I don't need it. Other people may need it. I don't need it. Maybe it's, I've heard this sermon before. I've heard this, you know, this parable preached many times. I don't need it. That's pride. That's hardness of heart. God wants to do something in your life today, whether you know it or not. His Word will change us, no matter if it's the most familiar place in all the Bible. Maybe you say, I'm too scientific for any of this. You know, there's nothing really that can really happen it's church, but God changing me, that's unscientific. It just doesn't fit my philosophy of life. The hard heart. As a result, there's no retention. No understanding and no retention. The Bible tells us here the evil one comes and snatches that seed away. It's not going anywhere. He takes it away before he can do something. How does the devil snatch God's word out of our hearts? Whether we're saved or unsaved, I believe it is his prime duty, when he knows we've heard the word, to take it out. Forgetfulness. We've not done anything. Remember, a good hearer prepares. He does something to remember. But not the hard-hearted person. He doesn't take any measures to remember it. It's gone. He gets something on his mind, maybe during the sermon itself or after the sermon, and boom, the message is gone. That's the devil taking it away. Fear of man. Maybe he starts thinking, well, it'll cost too much if I actually did that. What would others say if I really allowed God to change me? If I really began to do what that was saying, what would happen? I don't want to do that. Procrastination. Oh, well, you know, I will change. I will listen to this one of these days, but not right now. That's the devil. As we hear something, as we know we should respond to it, but our heart hardens itself because we say, I'll do it some other time. Just plain daydreaming. Remember, a good hearer concentrates. We're here, we're sitting here and daydreaming about something else that's going on in our lives or maybe going on or did go on. That's the devil. We kid a lot with some of our faculty members, I won't say which ones, about having ADHD, you know. I think our whole world has ADHD, you know, if you really read down all the requirements, you know. Everybody, it's hard to pay attention. We are programmed by TV. I think they change the subject matter on TV about every 7 seconds, if I remember reading about it, because that's about the average attention span of all of us these days. We've got to go against that. It's hard to sit and listen to a lecture or a sermon because we're not programmed. We're very visually programmed and oriented these days. It takes effort to concentrate. It's very easy to daydream. Or it's very easy to sit here and say, this applies to somebody else, not me. That's the devil. That's the bird coming in, taking the seed. Maybe it's the Sunday paper, the football game on Sunday, Sunday shopping. These are the things that are really important. These are the things that really engross my mind, not God's word. That's the hard heart. The hard heart. And as I mentioned, no plan to retain it. The hard heart has no plan to retain what God is saying. What's the result? Luke says it this way. They didn't receive it that they might believe and be saved. That may be exactly your case today. You're unsaved. If you were to die today, you'd go to hell. You have no way, no assurance of heaven. And if the devil can keep it that way, he will. He will rob the truth out of your heart so that you might never be saved. Lost forever. There is no hope beyond the grave apart from Christ and receiving Him through the truth of the gospel. The feeling of lostness. You ever experienced that? I remember when I was just a kid. I don't remember how old I was. My parents would always go back to Tennessee during the summer to visit the 4th of July week. And we'd always go up to the Smoky Mountains. And we went to the Smoky Mountains this one time, 2 carloads. And we were around in one of these souvenir places, and all of a sudden I looked up, didn't see anybody I knew. Looked around and I saw both cars heading down the road. Gone. One in the other car thought I was in the other car. I was scared. I was lost. I can't imagine that feeling. No, and knowing you are lost forever. Away from all that is good and healthy and those who have any love for you. That's the way it's going to be in hell. Lost forever. Doesn't have to be that way. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Come to Him. Number 2. what I call the superficial heart. We had the hardened heart, now we have the superficial heart. Some, it says in verse 5, fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And verse 20 interprets it, he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Here I would say, we're looking at a place where, in this part of the country, you would understand. Many times, there were places where there was lots of rocks and stones. And sometimes there were large places where there was a little bit of soil on the surface, but underneath there was nothing but rock. And so, of course, some of the seed would land in those kind of places. And because there was a little bit of earth, it would warm up by the sun, and man, that seed would just take off. But when the sun got hot, it's gone. Nothing there. I say here, little understanding. Little understanding. Perhaps reaching only the emotions. He receives it with joy, the text says. But no real root in themselves. Glad to receive the word, but it really doesn't change them. It makes them feel good, perhaps for a while. But there's no real understanding to the point that it changes my will. And I make a decision by the Spirit of God to really change. It's just that I like what I heard. It makes me feel good. It says it endures for a while. Temporal. Same word that's used in 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. There's no real spiritual work going on. It's just a surface type of thing. I hear it, I kind of like it, but there's no change. Nothing here of eternal life. Better than the first group, but not enough. No real signs of life. Maybe a few signs, but no real life. Maybe the signs of this little life may be kind of adopting a popular brand of Christianity. There's no real change, but just kind of adopting a brand of Christianity that I like. Health, wealth, happiness, financial prosperity, healing gospel. It's all over the radio and television. But many times there is no understanding of what God is saying in His Word. There's no understanding of the true gospel. It's just an experience. That's why I say it's superficial. It reaches the emotions and that is all. There is no real change. Maybe it's just a church member that knows how to speak the language, but there's no real heart change. Again, a kind of a cultural Christian. Emotions will not carry us through. It says that tribulation and persecution came in, and it came because of the word. And they died out. They were not able to stand it. Say, you identify with Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of the Bible. And there are going to be pressures and tribulations that will come in your life. It says they stumble, they fall. Let me read you a few verses. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Acts 14:22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Romans 5:3, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. 2 Corinthians 1:4, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. And 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, pressures, persecutions, tribulations, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Say, unless you believe something, You've come to the place where you accepted this truth and you have acted upon it by faith in your will, you will not stand. Emotions won't get the job done. We have to know it and believe it and act upon it, not just feel it. Now, I believe feelings should be in our religion. We should feel it, and we will if we have the proper religion. It says he is offended. He stumbles. The crisis reveals the character. Reveals what is there. And those crises will come. Pressures will drive us either to or away from Christ according to how we receive and believe His written word. The result here, no truth in Him. No root. Many a young man has become a Christian to get a certain girl. Say, young folks, when you marry somebody, by God's grace, you need to find out all you can that they are real. Not that they plan on becoming real, but they already are real. I remember a young couple early on at Walnut Creek Baptist Church when we first started that church. A young lady that had been brought up in a fundamental Baptist church knew the Lord. Her husband had made one of those decisions. And that's all it was. An emotional decision that lasted for a very short time. Never had any evidence of Christ in his life. And she paid the price all of her life that I knew her. Say, we have to have real response to God's Word, not just a superficial feeling about something that we like in it. Or we won't stand, we won't be real. Number three, the selfish heart. The selfish heart. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Verse 22, now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Now here I think we have enough understanding. Now again, I don't like to try to pin down every last thing. But I'm looking at it. Here's a person who has enough understanding. Dealing here perhaps with the will. I know, but I don't want to make life-changing choices. There is some life here, perhaps. It seems that the person pictured has been truly saved, maybe. Again, I don't know, you know, where we're going to tie it down, but we know this can happen. But unwilling to go on in Christian growth and clean out the weeds. Jesus addresses this in the 16th chapter of Matthew. Verse 24, you might want to turn over there in your Bible. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself. That's what we're calling this, the selfish heart. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in His glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to his works. Now, Jesus was talking about discipleship. A willingness to say, I want God to change me. I don't want to just be saved. I believe there is such a case of people being truly saved, but living a life in rebellion to God, backslidden away from God. No evidence. Maybe true life, but no evidence of it. The weeds choke everything out. It says the cares of this age. What are some of the cares that may choke out what God wants to do in your life? Let me suggest money. It's a pretty big one. My concentration on money. My time. My family, these things are important. We have to give time. but not to the expense of choking out what God wants to do in my life. My health, nothing wrong with trying to protect my health. But in the name of protecting health, do I quit doing things that I know I ought to do? If that were the case, wouldn't be much missionary work getting done around the world. My career, my house, my car, my little league. Can you believe it? My little league. Yeah, there are some people that see little league more important than being in God's house. If there's a game on Sunday morning, they're going to be there. Well, my boys play little league, but they weren't there on Sunday or Wednesday. And their coaches knew that ahead of time. If they wanted them on the team, fine. But some people see that more important. Or shopping. Or visiting friends. Anything. Any little old weed. Yeah, let it grow, but don't really care about God's fruit growing in my life. Riches, it points out particularly. Business taking up all our time. No time for God. Mark adds the phrase, lust of other things. Materialism. Luke says pleasures. I get a lot of pleasures at CK Afrin, California. Beautiful place. I love this property here. I like to look out over the mountain. Beautiful. A lot of pleasures. We can indulge ourselves in this state. And a lot of Christians are on Sunday. Somewhere else. Not in God's house. Not willing to give up all, if necessary, for the seed to grow. And in fact, we can say not willing to give up anything sometimes for God's seed to grow in our lives. Just too much of a sacrifice to let God do what He wants to do. How foolish. What should I do, you say? Well, the result is the word is going to be choked. I'm going to be unfruitful without any kind of a fruit. If this is the way I am, I may not be saved. Right? It may truly be that I'm not saved. If I didn't care about producing anything for God, I would wonder if I'm saved. You need to make sure you are. And if I am saved, I need to say, there's a verse there that says, "He who has ears, let him hear." If at all God is speaking to your heart today, hear Him. There may come a day when you won't hear Him anymore. Listen. Respond. When you can. While you can. And follow the fourth case, which is the good soil. The useful heart. Roman numeral 4. The useful heart. A heart that can be used by God. Luke calls it the honest or noble heart and the good heart. Yeah, a good part of our problem is we are just not honest with ourselves. We're not honest with God. If we really sat down before God, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., founder of Bob Jones University, used to say, you know what you need to do once in a while? Get in a room all by yourself. Set a chair over here. And you sit down over here and talk to yourself. And be honest with yourself before God. That would do us all a lot of good. The problem is, we have the radio on all the time, whether we're in the house or in the car. God doesn't have a chance to get a word in edgewise. We're always thinking about something else. Point A, good understanding. A good understanding. He hears and, Luke says, keeps the word. You remember how we talked about how to properly hear at the beginning of the message? That's what the good heart does. He does something to get it, concentrates, listens, preserves it. Fruitful life. Fruitful life. Luke mentions that it involves patience. You know, for something to grow out, even in California, it has to put up with a little bit of cold. Now, where I grew up in Delaware, it has to put up with a whole lot of cold. The wind, the sun, the heat. Yeah, if we're going to grow, we have to be willing to do that. It's in bugs and lack of water and disease and all these kind of things that are going to come along to try to keep us from growing. So Luke says, it involves patience. Now, there are certain products that I believe will come. The fruit. What is the fruit? What is Christian fruit? Well, there are lots of things that we could say. I think primarily it is God's character being reproduced in our lives. God's character. We are made in His image. We are here to glorify Him, to reproduce that character by His Spirit through His Word. That involves worship and respect for Him, holiness, love, honesty, orderliness, living out the Ten Commandments, the fruit of the Spirit. These things are all representatives of God's character. And that's what God wants in our lives. That's the kind of fruit that will come out. And what about the amounts? It tells us here in verse 8, some yielded a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. So here we're talking about people who have a heart that wants to respond. Some are yielding a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Why the difference? In this parable, I don't think it's on the basis of ability. I think it's talking about how much we yield to God. How much we really yield to God. Okay, I'm gonna give God 30%. Yeah, there are Christians giving God 30%. Some giving Him 60%. Probably nobody giving Him 100% because we still are sinful creatures, but some are getting pretty close sometimes, maybe. I read the biography of Hudson Taylor and I say he was getting pretty close. And the question to us, I think, is, does it make any difference to me whether I'm 30 or 60 or 100? Does it make any difference? Do I really care what kind of a Christian I am? What God is able to work through me as He grows me, do I really care? Well, it's going to depend on what we've read already in this passage, my attitude toward Him, the soil of my heart, and whether I'm really hearing and whether I'm really doing and trying to practice. I would say to us today, let's check our hearing. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the question is, what kind of soil are we? What kind of soil are we? This is the beginning, I think, of the 21st century. Is that right? Is that what they're saying? Now, I'd like to give you a formula. Give you a challenge for the 21st century. I'd like you to do it all through the century. A little humor, okay. You know. Well, I'm going to ask the Lord for 2020 vision, maybe to see till I'm 76. Maybe after that, I'm not too much worried about it, but if I live to be 20 more years, you know, 76, that'd be good enough for me. Maybe you're going to be living 50 more years. Maybe you live 100 more years. I don't know. Some of you may. Samuel might make it. Here's the formula now. This isn't a phone number you can call, okay? 10-10-1. Isn't there something like that? 10-10-1. No advertisements here. I don't get anything for this. I think 10-10-1 is all gone, isn't it? It was here for a while and gone. I'm not sure. But that's the formula. 10-10-1. Now, it's really, really very simple. It's not asking for much, but I would challenge you to do it. If you do it, you would do it. This is frightening. But if you would do it, you would do more than the average Christian does. 10 minutes of Bible feeding. 10 minutes of honest communication with God a day. And try to win one soul to Christ this year. I tell you, as shocking as it may seem, if you did that every day, you would do more than the average Christian does. That's why we're in the shape we're in this country. That's my challenge to you. If you want to be a good hearer, if you want to really begin to be, I think this would be a good beginning place. It's very minimal. Everybody can do it. I'm not talking about hours. I'm talking about just take 10 minutes to feed on the Bible. 10 minutes to talk to God. For some, that may be hard because you've never prayed 10 minutes before. Well, as you begin to pray, you will. You will learn. Take the Wednesday night prayer sheet. You can pray for an hour using that prayer sheet. May God help us to say, I want to be good soil. I want to be the kind of soil that God can produce something through that will last forever for His glory. And I will at least spend 10 minutes reading the Bible, trying to get some food from the Bible, not just reading it, feeding on it. 10 minutes at least in honest communication with God, and do my best through some means to try to win at least one person to Christ this year. May God help us. Let's pray together. We thank You, Lord, for this wonderful parable. We pray that You would teach us and instruct us, and we pray that we would hear and that we would change. Only Your Spirit can really apply this message to us and some of the very specific things that we need to change in our lives. We pray that during these moments and throughout this message, You may have done that. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, nobody looking around, you say, you know, if I were to die today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm just not sure, but I wish You'd pray for me. You slip your hand up a moment, put it back down. I'll not embarrass you in any way. I will pray for you. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. If you know the Lord, I would encourage you now to, between you and Him, to say, Lord, I know You've spoken to me about this and this and this, and I'm going to write it down. I'm going to do something to preserve it, and I'm going to, by Your grace, do what You're leading me to do. It's between you and God. I encourage you to honestly make the decision He wants you to make before Him. Lord, may You work in our lives by Your Spirit and Your Word today. If there are any here that are not saved, may they come to You before it's too late. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing in closing today hymn number 388. I trust we can sing this and mean it. Have Thine Own Way, Lord. 388. Now, this is an invitation hymn. Perhaps you're here today and you need someone to take the Word of God and pray with you. Maybe you've been saved, never been baptized. Baptism is a public profession of Christ. Maybe you just come and say, Preacher, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. Maybe you need to identify with this church. Never become a member here. You're saved, you know it, but never have identified with this church. I'd encourage you to come today. Make that decision. Never be a better time to do it. Let's stand together as we sing. 388.